Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
Two things I want to say. How many people, you know, you get ready to say something, and as soon as you get ready to say it, it goes right out of your mind? So the first one is that song, Sweep Over My Soul. You should, if you can, get the words to that and use that as your meditation, because we're going to talk about today changing the process that's going on in your mind. And that's those words this morning were really powerful for helping with that. The other thing is what Horace read about our outer world is an extension of what's going on in our inner world. There are so many different things I'm reading lately in terms of the books I'm working with that are talking about that. And at a very deep level, this whole thing again about St. John of the Cross, Dark Night of the Soul, is an extreme process of shifting your mind from everyday life to God. And when I say extreme, because we can't even comprehend what that's like. You get what I'm saying? And that's what this talk is going to be about. So that those two things really hit me. Number one was that song in that book, because you're going to hear me talking about using spiritual divine concepts to try to substitute what is happening in your mind at the time, and this idea that what is happening in my world is an extension of what's happening inside of me. That's that one thing we don't want to acknowledge, right? So, all right, so those who are just joining us, this is actually lesson number 7 in a series we're doing on the unity way of living, to understand what is the unity thought process. And the unity thought process is not significant just to unity, it's significant to the whole new thought movement. Is everybody get that? Okay, so it's not just unity, but there's a whole movement around this. The difference between unity and many other new thought ideas is that unity does base its teaching squarely on the teachings of Jesus, whereas some of the other signs of mind and others may not, you know, focus specifically on that concept. So the subtitle of today's lesson is How to Alter Your Consciousness. And the purpose behind all spiritual and religious activity is to alter our consciousness from an ego perspective to a spiritual perspective. In other words, how do I stop looking at things just purely from the perception of my ego, but then understand that what is happening in my life is a metaphor, or there are some metaphysics behind what is happening in my life that I need to begin to understand, okay? And one of the main reasons why the spiritual process seems so slow in coming is because we're trying to use our present mind to think us into the spiritual process. I'm trying to use my intellect to understand how to become spiritual. It doesn't work that way, okay? So what we really want to do is we want to call on our mind to not think and instead be still and listen so they can experience the presence of God. So instead of thinking how I'm going to figure this out or work this out, how do I get into a place of not thinking? Which, of course, again, what? Be still and know that I am God. And this experience comes in the form of guidance and comfort. So the idea of not thinking is I'm open to divine guidance, because my intellect, no matter how broad it is, still works within a certain scope of ideas. It's like when I'm talking to some of my PhD colleagues at the school, and I start sharing ideas. I'll share with one person, and I said, have you heard of? Oh, no. Have you heard of? Nope. Have you heard of? Nope. You know, and after a while, she says, I'm a PhD, and I've never heard of any of these concepts. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is that no matter how smart we are, we're all still only operating within a small window of information. So the reason for not thinking is to open ourselves up to the incredible library of the universe, all right? So, you know, just contemplate the idea that the key to spiritual growth is to learn how to keep your thoughts to a minimum with the emphasis being on your thoughts, my thoughts, our thoughts. These are the thoughts we ponder based on our perception of what we think is happening in the world. Thoughts that fluctuate between the love for life and the fear of life. And we do flip-flop back and forth between those ideas, okay? So these are the thoughts that are constantly reacting to what is happening in the outer world. If things are good, then we're good. If things are not good, then our whole psychological, emotional perspectives begin to kick in and create a whole lot of different emotions inside of us, all right? So to explain this idea, and let me just share again, that what we're going to be talking about today is dense. I mean, it's the intellect can grasp it, but may not understand how to implement it, all right? But it's sort of like the idea, once you've seen God, you cannot unsee God. Or once you've heard the truth, you can't unhear it. And so it, you know, Tuesday is going to be my first day of class, and I tell you how I always start classes by telling them, there is no reality, there's only perception. And by the end of the semester, you'll become aware of every thought that goes through your mind, every word that comes out of your mouth, and every deed you perform, and I want to get that glazed over look. All right? Okay? But once you've heard it, you can't unhear it. Okay? So that's sort of what the teaching is going to be about today. Especially this particular verse, Matthew 5:33, that talks about how to keep our own thinking to a minimum. So again, Matthew 5:33. Again, you have heard it said to the men of old. Basically referring, this is Jesus referring to the Old Testament. Okay? You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. And that's what they were told. They said, you shall not swear falsely, but whatever you swear, you have to do. That's what they were told. But Jesus says, I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven or by earth. And do not swear by your head. Let what you say simply be yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. All right, now we're going to talk about what that means. So yes or no are the most basic tools of unity. What is our yes and no? Affirmations and denials, okay? So that's the whole unity way of living. So the purpose being to cultivate our consciousness in a way that prepares it to receive truth. So without this preparation, truth teaching such as that taught by Jesus, they don't make any sense to us. Right. So if you're just using your own mind and Jesus says, do not worry about your life, your mind goes, oh, what? That don't make any sense. You see what I'm saying? Because you're not listening to it from a spiritual perspective. So here's another verse. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Paul said, the unspiritual person does not receive the gifts of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because spiritual ideas must be spiritually discerned. So you can't hear the works of spirit with your own intellect because they won't make any sense to you. Okay? Your intellect would say, I don't understand how that can be. I don't understand how to make that work. I don't understand how that can happen. Because it is trying to do what it always tries to do is figure it out. And what we're talking about is stop trying to figure it out. That the ego just doesn't quite get. Am I right? Okay. So when Jesus said, do not swear, the word swear means to make a solemn declaration. In this passage, Jesus is explaining that the old belief is that you should not swear that you're going to do something unless you're actually going to do it. That was the old belief. Don't swear you're going to do something unless you're actually going to do it. But Jesus is taking it to the next level. He's explaining you should not swear at all, not even to make some solemn oath to God, expressing what you will or will not do. And this means, also, that's what he means by do not swear to heaven. And he said, okay. And then nor should you swear to make a solemn oath to yourself or anyone else, which means, he said, do not swear by earth. So he said, don't swear to God at what you're going to do. Like that Burt Reynolds thing where he fell out in the ocean, he's swimming and telling God, when I get back, I'm going to go to church every day, single day. I'm going to give all my money to you. You know, and he finally makes it back and goes, I'll see you sometime at church. I might send a few bucks. You know, it's like, so it's like, you know, and we will do that. I swear to God, I'll, you know, if only so, and or swear to each other. Jesus said, don't do any of that. He's, you know, so the next level is he explaining you should not swear at all just let the process in your mind unfold. You know, he says specifically, do not swear by your head, meaning do not use your intellect to make a solemn vow. And we'll say that, you know, how many of us, can remember swearing, making a solemn vow to God, to our church, to our spouse, to our children, to our friends, our coworkers, ourselves, vows that we've broken, right? You know, those vows are often made with our intellect combined with an emotional intent. In other words, when we make them, we are sure we're going to do it. That's why when you go into I teach retailing too. When you go into the store and you say to the salesperson trying to sell you something and you really want it, and you swear to them, I will be back next week to get that, right? In the retail industry, they're saying that there are only greenbacks, there are no B-backs. And they want to close you right now not because they don't believe you, because they know when you step out that door, life happens, all right? So, but we'll make these vows. And I think that, this is probably sounds contrary to everything you've learned about goal setting, which is an exercise performed by our intellect. We've been told, set goals, right? All our lives. Set goals and then work those goals. Okay, and this is saying, don't set goals. The intellect, I don't know if I can grasp that idea. There's a common vows that we make. Gosh, I'm never going to eat that much again or drink that much again. Or the famous one, starting tomorrow, I'm going to diet. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to get back on track. There are all these things we say to ourselves. That's why one of our, Greg Weiss, Greg is in his 70s now, but he was an Olympian, gymnastics way back in the day, but he owns something like 8 gold gyms, all right? And he says he knows the reason why he's making so much money. He says he has, tens of thousands of, members, but they all pay, but what percentage of them actually come? Except very few, all right? So that's the thing, we'll make all these vows for ourselves that we really never keep. Now, this is what Jesus is referring to when he said, do not swear by your head. The whole idea here is you want to begin to the process of let go and let God. And that's a hard dynamic to really work with. Jesus says, just learn how to use your mind and simply say yes or no, meaning an affirmation or denial. Simply affirm that you are aware of the power and presence of the Holy Spirit being present in your mind, body, soul, and affairs. So instead of saying, this is what I'm going to do, the first thing you want to know is you're aware of the Holy Spirit. The reason why the Holy Spirit is because out of the Trinity, I didn't say the trilogy, did I? Out of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all right, mind, idea, expression. The Holy Spirit is the expression of God in your life. God itself is not the expression. God is the sea of infinite potentiality. So when you say, I want to, from the sea of infinite potentiality, God, it pours into your mind according to what you're holding in your mind, the potential to eventually express. Did everybody catch that? Okay, so virtual realm, God, infinite potentiality. What you ask of infinite potentiality, it has no idea what you're asking about because it doesn't know anything. It only knows the potential. Okay, quantum physics calls it the unified field of which everything comes. Your mind is a quantum realm. It's the realm that has the ability to take that which is infinite and form it into the potential of that which you want, which will eventually, if you hold on to it long enough, will express in your life. And that expression is the Holy Spirit. So that's why you want to be aware of the Holy Spirit active in your life and affairs. Is that okay? I always like to, I like to know the mechanics behind something. All right. And that's the mechanics of that process. So Jesus is saying, use your mind and simply say yes or no, meaning a simple affirmation of denial. Simply, I'm repeating, affirmation, affirm that you are aware that the power of the Holy Spirit is present in your mind, body, your life, and affairs. And as Paul expressed, deny the presence of anything that is not good, acceptable, or true. That's Romans 12, 2. Okay? So stuff comes up in your life and you go, oh man, I got to deal with it. Well, deny it, from not that it's happening, but it has any power over you. Why? Because you are affirming that the activity of the Holy Spirit is ready to guide you through the valley of the shadow of death, that process, okay? So when you need to accomplish something that seems to be eluding you, just prevail upon the divine presence within you to inspire and guide you as to how to accomplish what you need to do, okay? Simply say yes to God. It's inspiration, even before you receive it. You follow it? You're saying yes to God's inspiration even before you receive it. So stuff happens. Your mind jumps right to, oh, God, how am I going to get through this? But you pull that back, all right, and you affirm that you are going to be guided into how to make work yourself through this even before you receive the idea. So you're giving thanks before, okay? And then you say no to that aspect of yourself that either doesn't believe or doesn't always follow through on what it receives. Yes to God, no to that negative dynamic that your ego is trying to take you through. Okay? So just Jesus said that anything else, anything but yes or no, right, comes from evil. Now, evil being our ego's need for useless dialogue and inner chatter. Who knows what I'm talking about? Okay, you know, something happens, your ego creates this whole drama in your head about how this is going to work out that really has nothing to do with what's happening. You know, it's seeing you going down the road. And you know where that drama comes from? It's coming from past experiences where you went through something similar and this is what happened. So you're assuming, your mind is like unconsciously assuming, since I went through that way before, this is getting ready to happen to me again. You don't want to do that. Did that make sense? Okay. All right. So, and if you are thinking, I have no thoughts that, you know, go through my mind that are useless chatter. You say, well, you know, no. Every thought that goes through my mind, I need to think about it. It's not useless. Right. If you're thinking that, then you know where you are. Right. Okay. Now, I realize that this is or can be an extremely difficult concept for us to wrap our minds around. You know, just think that all you're going to think is yes or no. All you're going to do is to affirm God and deny evil. Evil being anything that is not of God. Okay? Anything, remember, there's only two things you can think. What? Love, fear. All right? Everything else falls under one of those categories. Okay? So I know it's kind of hard to go through that process of just having a mind that's just thinking in, you know, yes or no. And it's because we do not use our mind typically to affirm the presence of God or deny these things. So now we're going through a whole other way of thinking, a whole other way of working through our consciousness. So your ego wants to have nothing to do with that line of thinking and has a myriad of justifications as to why it's necessary to use our minds to mentally massage every detail of our lives, right? The mind will say, well, no, you got to massage that because... And we go, yeah, that makes sense. So let me massage it. All right. And you go through that process. The key here, let go and let God, is way more complicated than it sounds. Let go and let God is a very highly evolved process. You know, but the intellect goes, oh, yeah, let go and let God. That makes sense. I can do that. All right. But no, the ego really does not understand let go and let God. The ego is like, no, I got to hold on and work with this. Okay. So this is the reason we're exploring this idea of reducing the idle chatter in our mind to a minimum. It is to learn how to purposely use our mind for divine communication instead of the constant chatter that the ego typically wants to go through. Okay? Now, that's why I go back to the song, what was it? Sweep Over My Soul, because if you find yourself in this chatter, and I'll tell you personally, it happens for me, and Pam will tell you, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, boom, I wake up and all the stuff I got to deal with is going through my mind. How many people have anything like that, right? You know, just all the chatter and everything. And so this week, you know, I was working on a talk and it happened. I woke up at 3 And I says, nope. And I use the affirmation, you know, God is, I am. God is, I am. And I kept working with that thought until the next thing I knew, it was 6:30 and it was light in the room. You see what happened? So that's what the exercise looks like. When something is, you know, disturbing your mind, you've got to switch it to some other spiritual process that you can work with. And what I will do is I will inhale God is and exhale I am. Okay? Now, that's got breath and mind activity going with it that's both spiritual, and it moves that other thought process out of my mind. So there is a work in process. You got to work at this. All right, this is the work, as they call it. Okay, so we have somehow come to find comfort in idle chatter in our mind. Okay, it's like comfort food or junk food, you know, that we needed to console something that's going on in our lives. And yes, I will agree because I go through the same thing. You know, I'm writing these talks for me and then sharing them with you. Okay. So I will go through that same thing. You know, you have this process, you deal in your mind, and it's like this is where your mind goes when you're struggling with some emotional issue. Am I right? Or maybe it's just me. Okay, all right, all right. But likewise, you know, we have comfort thoughts. That's, you know, useless thoughts that produce useless conversations about useless things. And there's a lot of that on TV, in these talk shows. I'm like, how can people talk that much about nothing? Right, and make a whole show out of it, right? And then we watch it because it's you know, engaging to our mind that's looking for useless stuff to talk about, all right? But that's sort of the process. So, we want to get to a place where we want to be viewed as thinking from a higher perspective. And as long as we are the way we are, we will continue to need comfort thoughts. You know what I'm saying? As long as we are the way we are, we will continue to need comfort thoughts. Now remember, nothing that I say is a condemnation saying, oh, we have to stop doing this and start doing that. It's a process of you get to places where you say, I really want to be in a different space. You get it? So then when you want to get in that different space, at least you have the tools in terms of how do I move from where I am to this different space. Okay. So the question is, how do we evolve to a place in consciousness where our frivolous, fearful thoughts decrease and our inspiring spiritual thoughts increase? Remember, John the Baptist says, I must decrease the intellect, and he who is coming must increase, and that was Christ. Follow me? So John said it. I who am considered the highest in the world of intellectual knowledge must decrease, and he, the Christ, must increase. And Jesus said of John, he who is greatest on earth is less than he who is least in the kingdom of heaven. That's powerful. So that means if I can just get a glimpse of how my mind should be working spiritually, it overrides all my intellectual prowess, so to speak. Okay. And many of you I know have been on a fast. Who's ever done a fast? Okay. Been on a fast. A time when you take in nothing, but maybe you did a juice fast, or you did the master cleanser fast, which is, you know, lemon and water, and if you're really strong, a little cayenne pepper, right? But you've done those different fasts where you're, you know, only taking in, what we call living water. You know, but regardless of what method you use, fasting is a time when you eliminate everything you normally put into your body except water and the life-giving elements of juice or something of that nature, okay, which is often called living water. Now, it's a time when you affirm life through the living water you consume and deny evil by abstaining from what you normally consume, much of which probably should be left out of your body anyway. You know, those Twinkies, I mean, you know, whatever. But what is amazing about the fasting process is how you progress from struggling to let go. I don't know if you can remember. If you, in the first couple of days, oh, I got a headache, you know, I feel nauseous, all this stuff is going on, all right? And then you get, you know, because you're not consuming what you normally consume, You know, and then you move into a peaceful place of enjoying the simple experience of just taking in life, okay? While, you know, what we're calling living, and if you do it in the right frame of mind, you actually reach a point where those cravings begin to subside and you can move through the fast easily. And I don't know if you know this, but what you're craving is your body is craving more of that sugar or whatever it is you were putting in. It's craving those things. Your thing is in my mind. Of course, your mind is going to make you even feel more hungry, but it's just your body's craving. So you got to get to a place where your body begins to diminish in those things that are in, so that that thing is not craving it anymore. All right. So the practice of fasting from food to break the chain of slavery of our bodies to unhealthy food and unhealthy eating habits is the same as fasting from thinking negative or fearful or even prideful thoughts and break the chain of slavery our mind has to these unhealthy thoughts. So the purpose of fasting is to break the chain of slavery you have to these foods. The purpose of not stop thinking negatively is to break the chain of addiction we have to thinking negatively. And that's the interesting thing. We are actually addicted to negative thinking. That's why the news is so successful, because it gives us, I think the formula is actual formula is 15% good news and 85% bad news. That's the formula that they use. All right. So we become addicted to that negative thinking. And it, you know, and because everybody's thinking about it and talking about it, we just think it's normal. You know, it's like when I was in the gym Friday morning, they have, 25 TVs in there? The TVs everywhere you look. And so where I was working out, those six TVs were all something was going on in the White House. And way down there was a TV that had football on it. I was straining to look at the football TV, so I did not have to look at all the subtitles of what is happening in the White House. All right? And so that's the dynamic, is this all this negative process. So it's realizing that I'm caught up in this negative loop. And I want to get myself out of that negative loop. Okay? And yes, when you do, you might find that your friends that were so used to being in a negative conversation with you are going, "What is wrong with you?" All right? Because you're trying to move into a whole different space. All right? And many physical ailments, not all, can be healed or prevented by a regular regimen of periodic fasting, allowing the body to just rest. Okay? They said during fasting, cells that were eventually become cancerous can't survive in that. Right? And they begin to break down and dissolve. So it's a positive thing for your body. Likewise, many mental, emotional challenges we experience can be healed or prevented by a regular regimen of fasting from negative thinking, allowing our mind to rest. And mental periods of fasting are usually called prayer, meditation, and spiritual contemplation. Or as Thich Nhat Hanh, the famous Buddhist monk, would say, is practicing the art of mindfulness. So mindfulness, as you may have heard me, he talks about, if you're washing the dishes, when we're doing something like that, we're usually thinking about what we can't wait to get to do when we finish doing this. And he said the art of mindfulness is, as you are washing the dish, you're actually thinking to yourself, "I am washing this dish." You follow me? You are mindful of what you are doing in that moment, okay? No matter what it might be, you're mindful of that process. So what is interesting about fasting from food on a regular basis is that each fast leaves you having less cravings for the foods that would do harm to your body, okay? Eventually, over time, bringing you to a stage where you're only consuming the simplest and most nutritious foods and eliminating all others. Right? It's like when I was at this week was a whole thing of meetings at the school, which all of us don't like. That's a nice way of putting it. And so they had, you know, cake and all kinds of stuff, donuts and everything for people to eat. And I had my cooler with two green smoothies in it, right? Of course, but now they know when I take that out. They used to say, "What the heck is that?" Right, but now I'm drinking that green smoothie. So I poured some for a person sitting next to me, one of my colleagues, and she was like, "Ooh." And she took it to her, and she goes, "Oh, God, I really got to drink this." And then when she drank, she goes, "Oh, that's pretty good. Can I have some more?" Right? You know, but it's a thing where, you know, if you're not used to the whole healthy food eating, you don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to you. Okay, so but that's the process of this thing of fasting. Over time, you begin to crave less and less in those foods. All right, so and the key here is we're not going to get to a point where we can just need water and a communion wafer. There was a story about a nun in Time magazine many, many years ago. She had some traumatic experience in her life that really brought her to God. And she had gotten to a place where all she survived on was water and a communion wafer. Yeah, that's a whole nother dynamic. Right? So, yeah, we're not trying to get to that. At least put some peanut butter on the wafer or something, you know, right? So, right. Yeah. So however the preposterousness of this extreme proposition does not release us from our obligation to step out in faith as far as our consciousness will allow us to go along the spiritual process. You follow me? So I may not get to a place where I'm in meditation all the time, but I want to get to a place where I can go out as far as where I am now will let me to go to work with this spiritual idea. Okay? Because once you get out to that place and become comfortable there, then you'll be able to what? Step out a little bit further. Okay, so we're not going to, you know, go from can't even walk a block to running a marathon. You know, it's a process we go through. So spirit is constantly seeking to aid you in all that you do. So when you say to yourself, you know, I like this idea. I'm resonating. I'm resonating with this idea. That's what it has to come to. Not that I like it, but I resonate with it. I'm vibrating with what I'm hearing. Does that make sense? You know, it's more than just say I like, but I'm in vibration with what I'm hearing. And because spirit is constantly seeking an audience with you through your mind, there's always a possibility of receiving some guidance when your mind momentarily quiets itself. So God is always seeking an audience with you, all right? Or as we described earlier, the Holy Spirit. So it's not like you have to, you know, become still and hope God got a moment to drop in. God is always right there waiting for you to be involved in the conversation, all right? So the great shortcoming to your mind thinking incessantly on its own is that by yourself, you can only see a small portion of the total impact that your actions are having on your world, whereas God knows the whole picture. God knows all that's possible. It's sort of like, you know, a great chess player, when they move one chess piece, they've already thought seven moves out. But when you deal with God, God knows the infinity of what's going to happen. Not just with you, but with everybody whose life you touch. Everything that's going to go on just because you stepped and made a move, the universe knows everything that's going to happen. Okay? So with God as your pilot of your mind instead of your ego, you're guided in ways that cause you to have an even greater positive impact on what you are striving to accomplish with less stress and strain on your part. And that sounds good, right? Yeah. This is what I want to accomplish. I'm open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth moving through me. You spend time in the silence as you are moving, you know, because that's a Quaker say, as you pray, what? Move your feet. All right. So you are moving your feet. You're doing what you feel God to do in the moment. And as you keep moving, the guidance becomes greater and greater for you to understand where to go. So stress and strain is a good indication that your mind is thinking too much on its own without calling on your indwelling Christ. Remember, instead of trying to think what to do, you know, you want to remain available to be thought through. It's not for me to think what to do, but be an instrument for the thoughts of God to move through. Okay? I think I tell you, before I get up from that seat, I always give thanks to my guides and teachers who I know are always working with me to help me to understand how to do a talk, how to whatever, right? Those guides and teachers are always right there guiding me, working with me to bring me to that place I'm trying to get to. And remember the familiar verse in Matthew 6:8, your Heavenly Father knows what you want even before you ask. Why? Because it's the activity that's the very essence of who you are. Okay, it's the very essence of your being. It's not a separate entity. It's very intertwined into you and you into it. As Jesus said, I am in the Father and what? The Father is in me, okay? God only needs your willingness, your receptivity, and the availability of your non-resistant mind. And just think about this. The more you are identified with your mind, the more the ego runs your life. The more you are identified with God's mind, the more God runs your life. Okay? And God does not need your help. It just needs your availability, your willingness. Okay? So in this coming week, become aware of what you think about. Become an observer of your thought activity. Remember, you are not your thoughts. You are the observer behind your thoughts. And then take those moments to just be still and listen for that still, small voice of the divine. Amen.